Okay. Who are you? Okay, yeah, this year I have Yorkside on Thursday night for my mum. It's 4 years since my mum passed away, so I'm doing two things. Number one, Sheikh Ali is in memory of my mum. Rifkat Bhagatan Ali Fi, Mimi Morati. And please go, and I'll also come and do Mishma on Thursday night. In memory of my mum. It depends, I just have to make sure that someone's looking after that. So this is Parshat Ki Tisa. It's been, I don't think I've spoken here since Parshat Bo, I think was the last time. It's a long time. It's a long time, at least a month. We have, in this week's Parsha, we have Truma Tetzala Ki Tisa Yaakov Pikudei. Truma Tetzala Ki Tisa Yaakov Pikudei. We have spent 2 weeks explaining the Mishkan, the materials that were required for building of the Mishkan, the Kohen Gadol, the consecration of the Kohanim. And at the beginning of Ki Tisa, we have an explanation of the donations that were made for the Mishkan. And just according to the Rambam, this all happened in order. I don't like pink, though. You're making me a pink sweater? Oh, I thought it was going to be dark blue. Okay, if it's pink, it's pink. Okay. And then we have Chet HaEgel. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up Har Sinai to receive the Luchot. There's a miscalculation. The people think he's not coming back. They make an egel, they start serving the egel. God tells Moshe on the Har what is happening. Moshe comes down, smashes the Luchot. And after there has been a stage of Teshuvah and Kapara, we get the second Luchot on Yom Kippur. And that is the source of Yom Kippur. I called it responsibility because I want to deal with Moshe Rabbeinu's response in the direction of three different entities. First of all, his discussion with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Har Sinai, Mul HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu Alav HaShalom Mul HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The second, over the page, will be a discussion between Moshe Rabbeinu Alav HaShalom Mul Yehoshua. Yehoshua is halfway up the mountain. And there is a discussion between Moshe and Yehoshua. And the last is Moshe Rabbeinu Mul Ha'am. Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to the people. And then I have an afterword on the last page, if we manage to get there in the text. If not, I'll just tell you what he says, Rabbi Steinsaltz. First of all, something extraordinary. And it is really extraordinary. Because I certainly didn't notice it until about 3 or 4 years ago. So it might not be extraordinary for you. Normally, when you critique someone and you give someone an indictment, they don't defend themselves using the very indictment that you used against them. So have a look at the psukim here. We're talking at the moment, stage one, Moshe and his discussion with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after the people have sinned. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Shmot Lamed Bet, Pasuk Tet, Ra'iti et ha'am hazeh v'hinei am kasheh oref hu. I have seen this people, they are a stiff-necked people, stubborn people. It's a critique. He's not giving us praise. We're a stiff-necked people. And Moshe recalls this comment in Sefer Devarim when he recalls Chet HaEgel. Vayomer Hashem elai le'emor, ra'iti et ha'am hazeh, v'hinei am kasheh oref hu. They are a stiff-necked people. But what's Moshe's reply to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this week's parasha? Vayomer imnam matzati che be'enecha Adonai. If I have found favor in your eyes, yelechna Adonai bekirbeinu, God, please return and walk amongst us. Ki am kashay orefu, because we are a stubborn-necked people. That's a critique. You come to me and you say, listen, Rav Milson, I'm not coming to you for Shabbos because you're horrible. So I turn around and say, please come for Shabbos because I'm horrible. It's not a very convincing argument. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't want to be with this people. It's a bad people. They're a stiff-necked people. And Moshe says, forgive me. Forgive them because they're a stiff-necked people. It's worth a comment, I think. We're joining Rabbi Sacks in the middle of quite a long essay. Have a look at the essay. Midat akshanut kashel koshiot oref yesh ba mitzad magune. It's for sure when someone is stubborn, it's a real critique of a person when they're stubborn. Aval hatzad hachiyuvi sheba, but there is something very positive about someone being stubborn. Hatzad hatov, the good side, oleh harbeh al hatzad hara, and the good side is much better than the bad side. Hapasuk hazeh melamdenu shegam HaKadosh Baruch Hu u'Moshe ishtamshu ba'otah tana. Both God and Moshe use the same claim. Though God uses it as a critique, and Moshe turns it around and says, no, it's not a critique. It's a plus. This is a plus of the Jewish people. Hashem yibarach hama ki lo aleh bekir b'cha ki am kishay orifu. I'm not going to be amongst you because you are a stiff-necked people. V'alzeh heshiv Moshe, adarabba, on the contrary, adarabba. On the contrary, you should walk amongst us because we are stiff-necked. What's pshat? This stubbornness is an incredible mile of Am Yisrael. Even though that stubbornness once triggered us to make the egel, we have been time and again prepared to die for God. The same stubbornness that created the sin is the stubbornness that enabled us to give our lives to God. V'nispol imuyim kashim, and to suffer many sufferings. You won't be able to know this off by heart. Come get this and share it. Over kashiyot oref la'amod b'nisyonot v'lo lehikana. V'milim achirot, in other words, the worst midah that we have, says Moshe, in the end it's going to be skulato haheroit. It's going to be a heroic part of what Am Yisrael is. At the moment you are judging them because they're stubborn and they sinned against you. But one day they will stand by you. They will stand by you with this stubbornness. Not just one day. Every generation this has happened with Am Yisrael. Ha'amim yomru lahem nitbolel. People who tell us to assimilate. Achem yisavu, but we won't. Datot she'asrara b'yadan yomru lahem lahamir et datam. There'll be Christians who come and tell us to convert to Christianity or be burnt at the stake. And we will be burnt at the stake. Aval hem yitnagdu, hem yisbalu ashpalot. We'll have our beards pulled off our faces. Redifot, they will chase us. Vafilu inuyim ad mavet, they might oppress us until death. Biglal shem ha'elohim shehem nosim. Just because we're Jewish. Just because we're Jewish. Not because we're Sfardi or Ashkenazi, not because we're left or right, not because we're Charedi or Hasidi, not because we're Dati Le'umi, but just because we're Jewish. And because of our belief. Because of our belief. That's Am Kashay Oref. Ki Am Kashay Oref. That's why you should be within this people, because these people will stand by you for 2 millennia of pogroms. Aval hem yidbeku bivrit shavotehem kartu itach. They will stick by that brit. They will go to their death singing Ani Ma'amin. Rav Nissenbaum was a very big rabbi in the ghetto of Warsaw. Mashrel is Rav Tokef Norahod, Garin Dvarav Nimsakva Bemidrash, Amar Rav Yakim, Shlosha Chatsufim Hein. There are three elements in the world that have chutzpah. Chasuf b'chaya, the chutzpahdik animal is a kelev, is a dog. Ba'of, in birds, it is a tarnagol, it is a chicken. Uv'umot, and in peoples, it is Israel. Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Adifa b'shem Rabbi Ami, atasavu shu l'ganai. You think this is a critique? No. It's lishvachan. O Yehudi, o tzaluch, be a Jew or be crucified, I will be a Jew. Hayehudim hem kashe oref. Jews are stiff-necked people. Omer Rabbi Ami, v'kach shem nechonim limso et nasham en uratam. They're prepared to die for their belief. Ralbag ben hameyah ha'abaisra. Ralbag, who lived in the 14th century, Pireshet ha'pasuk shalom ba'ofen domeh. He explains our pasuk in a similar way. Am kashe oref mitkashe lekabel ha'atzmo et olah shel dad. We find it hard to accept upon ourselves a belief in Torah. Ach mishiasake, but the minute we do, einenu mevater aleha b'shum ofen. We don't give up on it, not in any way. Sifrut chazal v'sifruteinu mimei habeinayim gedushot sipurim shel kiddush Hashem. The entire Jewish history is overflowing with stories of kiddush Hashem. Sipureim shel Yehudim she'edifu lamut ubilvad shelo la'amir et da'atam. Jews were prepared to die, but never ever give up their faith. Asefat Rabbanim belod b'meah hashniya le'sifriya. There was a sifira. There was a collection of rabbis in the second century. Shenischa et dinei kiddush Hashem. They put together hilchot kiddush Hashem, halachas of what you have to do when you are going to give up your soul to God. No Adah Lola or dead. It wasn't there to encourage people to do this. Mikola Mikrima Ele Bolete Chad, but there's one particular one he wants to remember. That's Rabbi Shlomo Ibn Virga, who lived at the time of the expulsion of Jews from Spain. Shamati Mipiza Kenim Yotzim Svarad. I heard from elders who came out of Spain. Ki onya achat baba mimakat deva. There is a certain ship that has plague on it. And the owner of the ship threw all the people on the boat, he threw them onto dry land, a place where no one lived. A desert, a place where no one lived. Most of the people who were on that ship, they died. And some of them walked until they could find a place where maybe there was water over the page. And there was a Jew. Him, his wife, and his two children start walking. The woman died almost immediately. She dehydrated and died. And then the man, the father, was schlepping the two children. When Italef Kamhu, he also fainted. And his two sons were starving. He kits min hainuf, and when he woke up, he found that both his children were dead. Umerova dada kamara glava ama, and he was so upset, he stood on his feet and said, Ribon ha'olamin, master of the universe. You are doing so many things to make me leave my belief, to make me give up my Judaism. Teda, you should know, ne'emana she'al korcham shel yoshvei shamayim, Yehudi ani v'yehudi ehyeh. I will live a Jew, and I will die a Jew. V'lo yo'il kol ma she'hebeita alai v'tavei alai. And nothing that you do to me will deter me from my belief. Va'asaf min ha'afar u'min ha'asavim, and he collected the dust, the kisait ha'na'arim, and he covered up his children, v'halach levakesh yishuv, and he went to find somewhere that he could live. V'megilat Esther, sh'akodesh baruch hu eino nizka b'kral. Megilat Esther, God isn't mentioned at all. Nechshevet b'nei chazal l'sipur shel Esther panim. It's a hidden God, right? Megilat Esther is megale et ha'hester, God reveals that which is hidden. Megaleh et ha'ester is Megilat Esther. The story of Esther took 9 years. We read it 45 minutes. It took 9 years. If you were living at the time, you would have no idea that God was involved in Vashti being dethroned, in the assassination attempt of Bigdan and Teresh, had no idea what was going on. Megillah megolelet et ha-nisayon ha-rishon le-genocide shel ha-am ha-yehudi. It's the first time we have an official record of people trying to destroy the Jewish people. Ne'emanutam shel ha-yehudim b'mei ha-chashverosh le'emunatam, but the Jewish people stuck to their belief. Afar pikem b'lamot ha-kol ha-yta ho-chacha chiyuvit l'kach she'em shavu v'ishu et ha-brit. It's what the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Pei Bet says. This is a renewal of the brit with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kimu v'kiblu. In the same way that we have rebelled with stubbornness, we have lived with stubbornness. And that is what it says so beautifully in the Megillah. Mordechai lo yichra v'lo yishtachave. Mordechai will not bow down. He will not bow down. They can throw us out of the Eurovision Song Contest, which is a nourishkeit anyway. They can stop selling us arms. They can stop doing whatever they want to do. But I've told you already, from the river to the sea, Hamedina Sheli, it's my country. From the river to the sea, Hamedina Sheli, they can scream it till the cows go home. But I know what river and I know what sea, and it belongs to me. I got one hell of a stiff neck. I've got a stiff neck with 3 slip discs. My neck is so stiff, I can't even move it properly. And I'm from the river and the sea, Hamedina Sheli. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu turns around to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, they can dig tunnels 20 feet underground. And we will fight, and we will fight, and we will fight. Ki Amkeshe Orefu. So you might see this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as a critique of Am Yisrael. But it is what is going to keep Am Yisrael alive for another 3,000 years, that we are Amkashe Oref. That is the discussion between Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe comes down the mountain. And I have a problem. I've always had a problem with this. Yahushua is standing halfway up the mountain. Now, Moshe knows what's happened, right? Because God told Moshe what happened. He says, Lech red, go down, ki shichet amcha, because your people have become corrupt. God tells Moshe at the top of the mountain what happened. As Yehoshua sees Moshe coming down the mountain, look at the Pesukim, Vayishma Yehoshua kol ha'am v'ra'ah. So Yehoshua can hear the noise down there, down yonder. He can hear the noise. Vayomer Moshe kol milchama v'machaneh. I can hear war down in the camp. Vayomer en kol anot gvura v'en kol chalusha kol anot anochi shomer. And Moshe says, no. This isn't the sound of war. There is something else going on down there. It's frivolity that's going on down there. Have a look at the Abarbanel. I'm more interested in the Ibn Ezra, or at least the first comment in the Ibn Ezra, because it's not what the Ibn Ezra thinks, but it's the comment that he makes in the name of Rav Sajda. I'm interested, but look at the Abarbanel first. Kashe yalad Moshe min aham asayt Yehoshua meshalto she ha-makom biyato besof ha-tchum she live oto v'yaredimo uviyotam yodim shamei kol ha-am v'ra. So he meets Yehoshua and they start walking down. And they hear the noise down in the machane. Roser omar betruato vahamiyato. Minichta bora in hay. Rilmos yaita hara'ava hapeshara. There's a lot of bad things were happening down in the camp. Yehoshua and Moshe are walking together. Moshe and Yehoshua. Va'amar el Moshe kol melchama v'machane. And Yehoshua says there must be a war going on. Why? Because Yehoshua didn't know anything else, right? God had told Moshe what was going on. Yehoshua didn't know. Yehoshua didn't think for a moment that the people were doing Avodah Zarah, right? He just thought, there must be a war, there must be a fight. Moshe didn't tell him what God had told him. It could be this second pasuk Yudchet. Moshe is answering Yehoshua, "Eze kol milchama kashi amalta." It's not war like you think it is. Lefishim haya kol milchama haya bechrechim anot gvura. Then you would hear courage. There's no noise of courage taking place there. It's frivolity. But Ibn Ezra's first quote in the Ibn Ezra, he says, it's not Moshe speaking. Vayomer Amar HaGaon, the Gaon is not the Vilna Gaon, obviously, because Ibn Ezra lives before the Vilna Gaon. Amar HaGaon is Rav Sadia Gaon, Ki Gam Ele Divrei Yoshua. It's Yoshua. Don't turn back the page for a minute. Sorry to annoy you with the pages. But Abarbanel understands the two psukim like this. Yoshua says to Moshe, there must be a war taking place. Moshe replies, it's not a war, it's frivolity, and they're messing around. But the Ibn Ezra, quoting Rav Sadia Gaon, who he doesn't agree with, says, no, Moshe didn't say anything at all. Vayomer Yoshua, Yoshua says that there is a noise of war, and Moshe doesn't reply. Moshe is shtum. Moshe is keeping quiet. Moshe is very, very upset, and he does not reply. His initial reaction is that he's upset. And so Yehoshua carries on speaking. You sometimes have a conversation with someone, there's an awkward silence, and you just carry on the conversation because they didn't say anything. So according to Rav Sadia Gaon, Pasuk Yudchet is, Vayomer ein kol anot, gvura ve'ein kol anot, chavusha kol anot, anochi shomea is Yehoshua. Moshe was still. Moshe didn't say a word. Yehoshua suggested it was war. Moshe doesn't react. So Yehoshua carries on and he realizes it's not war. I'm not so interested in Yehoshua here. I do want to digress a bit into Yehoshua. But in one second. But Moshe is silent. Domem. He argued with God. And Moshe is now dealing with a situation where he has to face the people. In front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Navi always defends God. When the Navi doesn't defend God, he loses defend the people. When he doesn't defend the people, he loses his job. That's what happens with Eliyahu, right? When Eliyahu doesn't defend the people after Har HaKarmel, God swaps him with Elisha, because the job of the Navi in front of God is to defend the people. In front of the people is to defend God. So Moshe is in the middle of thinking this out according to Rav Sadia, and Yehoshua is talking to himself. I always had a question about Yehoshua here, a little digression, a question about Yehoshua here. If Yehoshua really thought it was a war, why doesn't he go down and fight? He's the chief of staff, Ribono Shel Olam. If Yehoshua thought that the war was taking place in the Machaneh, what's he doing up there? Why didn't he go down and do something? So the answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to stay there, so he stays there. That's what God told him to do. Whatever he wants to do personally, he does that, he can't. But I wanted to contrast him with Aaron. Just bear with me a minute. The Abarbanel, much later in Parashat Chukat, will tell us that the reason why Aaron isn't going into Israel has nothing to do with hitting the rock, because Aaron didn't hit the rock. He'll say that Aaron was responsible for Chet HaEgel because he was the man in charge on the ground, so he has ministerial responsibility. Right? He was there when it happened. More than that, Aaron made the Egel. That's really interesting, though. Aaron made the Egel. What do we learn from this? On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol only wears white, right? Why doesn't he wear gold like he does every other day? Well, he does for certain parts, but the Avodat Yom Kippur is in white. Why? Because Ein Kategon Aser Sanegor, right? The accuser can't become the defender, meaning the foundation stone of Yom Kippur is Chet HaEgel, the Kaparat Chet HaEgel. So we're not going to play around with gold on Yom Kippur, remind God that we did Chet HaEgel, we're going to wear white. So then I had a question, but Aaron made Chet HaEgel. So why does Aaron go into the Kodesh HaKodeshim? It's a good question, Shosh. It's a good question. Not. It's for my confidence, you know. We don't wear gold because you don't remind God of Chet HaEgel. So why does Aaron say, why? Why? Amira, why? You've had normal people for 4 weeks. Back to the lunatic. You've had enough normalcy. Back to crazy man. So why? So I took this, I think it was Tennessee. I think you're correct, girls. Where's Rachel? She knows, right? Better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. Is that not Tennessee? Gabby? No, okay. You've heard the phrase, better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. Have you heard the adaptation of the phrase? Better to have tried and failed than never to have tried at all. You ever heard that?
Yeah.
If you haven't, you've heard it now. But that's not the original. The original is better to have loved and lost and never to have loved at all. Now, listen carefully. Aaron is down on the ground, right? He's b'shetach when it happens. The people have killed Hor. They've killed Miriam's Hor. They killed him because he tried to stop them. What does Aaron do? Aaron tries to stall them. He starts saying, bring this, bring that, Chag Lashem. He says, Yudkei Vavkei. He's not doing Avodah Zarah. He knows Moshe's coming down. He's trying to put them off. He failed. To the degree that the Abarbanel holds him responsible, but the Mishnah wants you to know that at least he tried. It's about trying. It's about trying. It doesn't matter what happens in the end, it's about trying. And therefore, of course, we're going to wear white on Yom Kippur. Because he tried. I've told a few of you already this year, why do we never fulfill our potential? We never fulfill our potential. Except for you. We never fulfill our potential. Why? Because what happens once you fulfill your potential? You fail. Once I've done everything I can do, I do the next step, I fail. And I'm scared of failure, so I don't make the next step. But that's what differentiates between the great people in the world and the less great people. Great people in the world just keep going. They keep pushing themselves. They keep pushing. If they fail, they fail. Girl comes up to me. She started a degree in Ichleses engineering. After a year, she tells me, I'm talking about anyone, don't receive the mashkicha. I don't know who's doing engineering, okay? So the next year, she decides she wants to do something else. And she comes up to me. I meet her in America or whatever. And she comes up to me and says, I wasted a year. I changed it. Why'd you waste a year? You didn't get a piece of paper because what you did, you studied for a year, you did things for a year. Why is it a waste of a year? Because you didn't get a piece of paper. That's it. It's a waste of a year. We judge our whole lives by results. It's about trying. It's all about trying, about the effort we make. Aaron tried. He tried. He did something. It failed. But he tried. And therefore, of course, we're going to wear white on Yom Kippur because he tried. That's all we can do, right? We can try our best. Things never work out the way we want them. Very rarely, I realized on one occasion in my life, the disappointment is the difference between expectation and reality. You think about it. You have an expectation in your mind, there's a reality, and disappointment is the gap between them. There's always a gap. It's never the way. Once in my life, it was the way at my daughter's wedding. I couldn't understand why I was so happy the next day. And I realized it was exactly the way I wanted it to be. I did the whole thing. It was exactly the way I meant, but I realized that that's disappointment. Right? Everyone has an expectation. We all have an expectation. We get upset when we don't, but we don't always know what our expectation is because we don't think it through, we don't write it down. We've got to just try. It's so important. That was just a digression, okay? So Moshe and Yoshua, you see, Moshe is very quiet. Now, Moshe goes down and he meets the people over the page. He meets the people. Now he does something here, ladies, which we take for granted, but who said we can take it for granted? Who said that Moshe can smash the lukot? I walk into morning Seder and there's not a lot of people. I bring a Sefer Torah and burn it. Is that okay? I'm upset. I come to Shir Klali. Half the girls are on here. They're going up and down, in and out. And I say, I'm very, very upset. I bring a Sefer Torah. I stand here. I rip it. What? Is that allowed? No, it's not allowed, right? Even I'm not allowed. No one's allowed. Have you not ever asked yourself the question, who gave Moshe permission to break the lukot? What was he doing? He lost control. Moshe Rabbeinu lost control. What are you talking about? But under whose auspices does he... Now we have, by the way, two different sources. In one pasuk, it says, Asher Shibarta, that you broke. And Chazal say, Yishar Kochacha Sheshibarta, well done for breaking them. And that was the first time I ever understood that the word Shkoyach is Yishar Kochacha. If you listen to Rav Shvat, you'll know Rav Shvat always says Yishar Kochacha, but most people say Shkoyach, and no one knows what, and they'll write it Shkoyach. But it's Yishar Kochacha, and the Gemara says, Asher Shibarta, Yishar Kochacha, Asher Shibarta. So there is a, a shkoyach. You did it. You were right to do it. But on another pasuk in this week's parsha, it says, "Psolecha, make new luchot." And Chazal say, "You broke them. You make new ones. You broke them." That's an indictment. You broke them. You make new ones. So it's not chad v'chalat. What he did was right. But I'm more interested here. Why did he break them? So have a look. Have a look. Have a look. Have a look at the Alshit. I hope you get to see the Alshit. The Alshit's in Sfat. It really depends on Kizbalah, I suppose. It really depends on Kosh Baruch Hu, but the Alshit is in Sfat, okay? And he's not alive. He dies. Okay. Now he's trying to explain why did he break the Lukot? Ki ka'asher ikar avodat shaman hi ha'asotah v'simcha v'tov lev. He said, avodat Hashem has to be v'simcha. Like I see in your faces when I'm giving you shir, the simcha of learning Torah. Maggie's smile. The simcha of learning Torah. All avodah is v'simcha. But when you sin, you're sad that you sinned, right? And therefore, if you're sad that you've done something wrong, there's a hope that you'll rectify what you've done. If you've done something wrong and you don't feel that you've done something wrong, your only shame is that you got caught. You're not gonna make anything right. But if you've done something wrong and you're sad, there's a chance that you might think about it, right? So says the Alshich, Achasameach ba'avono avda tikvato. Chas v'shalom. But if somebody's happy when they sin, then we lost hope. Al ken kasher ugad lo mipi advora lo ugad lo yotam smeichim. God told him that they made the egel. He didn't tell him that they were happy. So Moshe expected when he came down for people to be shocked that they were parting. He thought, well, if they're parting, there's no hope. They're doing something terribly wrong and they're happy. They don't realize that it's wrong. That's what the Rambam says. You can't do teshuva on something you don't realize it's wrong. You have to realize it yourself. It doesn't help that a teacher tells you, your parent tells you, your friend tells you. If you don't understand yourself that something is wrong, it's going to remain with you forever. So at the beginning, he wasn't upset so much. But when he came down and he saw what they were doing, that they were so happy in what they were doing, then he broke them. He wanted to shock them. That's a shock, right? Moshe Rabbeinu comes down, breaks the luchot that they were waiting for. It's a shock. And you know it's a shock because the reaction is immediate. They stop immediately. There's no rebellion. They've got their heads up and they start coming at Moshe Rabbeinu like they killed Hor. They stop straight away. He shot them. But Moshe needed a reaction from the people, so he smashed the luchot. Look at what Rav Hirsch says. And he says something very similar. Two different worlds, really. As long as Moshe just knew about the egel, he thought that I can go down there and I can produce something else. So he took the Torah down, I'll take them the Torah, and we'll make it right. But when he saw the egel and the machot, he saw the promiscuity, the corruption, the partying. He saw that they had totally fallen apart, the people. I can't just bring them the Torah and everything will be okay. I have to shock the people. We sometimes wake up with a shock. It's not always enough. It's not always enough. People got a shock here on the 7th of October. We spoke about Achdut. Where's that gone? Where's it gone? On the verge of being at each other's necks again. Demonstrations on what's it? Shabbos, Bibi, name calling. Yeah. It's all forgotten, it's just gone. All the conclusions we got from Corona, they've all disappeared, right? It's just gone back to normal. You get shocked by something. The question is whether you internalize it, whether you are able to internalize a message or whether you're shallow and you haven't got the ability to understand anything, and it has its immediate effect, and then you just go back to normal.
So he throws the luchot down.
He needs to shock the people. But even the shock won't necessarily be enough. A totally different kivun we have in the Midrash. Rav Shmuel bar Nachman amar beperetz lefanav davar kasher. Mashal lemelech shekaas al bono ve'yashav al bima ve'danu bechivo. God is like a king who looks at his son. His son has broken a contract, and he has to be judged. Natalet akol muslachtom gzar dino. And he takes his pen to sign the son's fate.
Ma'asav sun katruto, chatav et akol mus mitoch yado shel ha'melech kedei lechashiv hamato.
So what did the defending attorney do? He snatched the pen from the hand of the prosecutor so he couldn't write the gzar din.
So kaf b'shar shasui sel oto ma'aseh.
When Am Yisrael were doing this ma'aseh of Chet Ha'Egel, which is Avodah Zarah, according to many of the Mefarshim,
Yashav HaKadosh Baruch Hu aleihem
b'din, God was going to destroy us. That's what he says. They've broken the contract. It's the end of the Jewish people.
Shenema, haref mimeni v'ashmidem.
Leave me alone and I will kill them.
V'lo asa ela balachtom gzal dinam. Shenema zoveh rehim
yechram. Someone who does idolatry will be destroyed.
Ma'asa Moshe.
Moshe ripped up the contract. He broke the luchot. This isn't just a midrash, this is incredible. Mecheni nam sifrecha. We heard Mecheni nam sifrecha. You're going to kill this people, rub me out. So Moshe, as the leader of the people, Moshe mul ha'am, breaks the luchot. But according to the midrash, according to the Alshich and Rav Hirsch, it's Moshe mul ha'am. Moshe is trying to shock the people. They've done something terrible. He wants to shock the people. He smashes the luchot. According to the Midrash, he smashes the luchot to defend the people. How does he defend the people? The only piece of paper that I have that means I can't do Avodah Zarah is the Ten Commandments. I will destroy the Ten Commandments, and there's nothing in writing that makes me have to keep those rules. Moshe ripped up the contract. That's leadership of an incredible kind. You understand what I'm saying? He ripped up the contract, right? There's a contract that says that you can't do Elohim Achirim. So Moshe just breaks it. Where's it written? It's not written anywhere. There's no contract. The contract was never signed. And therefore, the people are, Moshe lies, puts his head on the line for the people of Israel. He smashes the luchot, not knowing what the consequences are going to be. Selflessness, not knowing what the consequences are going to be. He puts his head on the line and he breaks the luchot. Meaning Moshe didn't understand. On the one hand, we're saying Moshe wanted to shock the people, so he breaks the luchot. On the other hand, we're saying, no, it's got nothing to do with that. It's got to do with the fact that he wants to tear up the contract with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mecheni na misifrecha. That's why in last week's parasha, Moshe isn't mentioned. But the Meshech Chochmah is brilliant. You hear this Meshech Chochmah, ladies? You'll cancel plans for the evening. There's nowhere to go. It's good that we do it in the auditorium. You have two things to put your arms on so you don't slip over. You don't. This is the definitive. I am offering you the definitive Shmirat Halukot. The definitive, okay? We have two opinions as to what Chet HaEgel was. We have the opinion that it was Avodah Zarah. Rashi says it's Avodah Zarah. They were worshipping other gods. Eile Elohecha Israel. And however we want to understand Avodah Zarah, Rashi says it was Avodah Zarah. But let's try and understand Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi. Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi and the Ramban. So it has nothing to do with Avodah Zarah. Because it was triggered by the fact that Moshe didn't come down and the people were trying to find a replacement for Moshe. Why that replacement is a golden calf is a different question. What did Moshe represent for the people? He is the mediator between them and God. Moshe's gone. We need another mediator. We need something that's going to connect us with God. And so they make an egel, for whatever reason. When Moshe is coming down from the har, he understands, listen carefully to this, this is Pella. Moshe is coming down from the har, he understands that if I give them these tablets, and they're written by the hand of God, they're going to worship the tablets.
They're going to worship the tablets, right? They need something tangible. Like we kiss the Kotel, they're going to worship the tablets. You don't need to kiss the Kotel, right? The holiness is on the other side, to the left, where the Kodesh HaKodesh is. You don't need to. If you want to, you can. But we're not praying to the Kotel. We're praying to the Shekhinah on the other side of the Kotel. Moshe is worried, if I bring them the tablets, they're going to worship the tablets. So what does he do? He smashes the tablets. It's an educational point. He said to the people, you can pray to God wherever you are. You don't need anything. You don't need a medium. You don't need, I'm going to smash them. You don't need them. You don't need them. There was, Lahavdil Elef Hagdilin, there was a comedy many years ago, which I'm sure you never heard of because it was probably in the 70s. It was called The Frisco Kid. It was a Gene Wilder film. And it was about, you've heard of it? No? And it's very funny. Well, for an American film. And it's got Rabbi comes from Eastern Europe and he's being sent to San Francisco. He's carrying a Sefer Torah and he gets caught up with Indians and cowboys and Indians and whatever. And he gets his cowboy friend, who happens to be Harrison Ford. And they're attacked by gunmen or whatever, and he has his Sefer Torah. And the gunmen take the Sefer Torah and they throw it into a fire. And they start attacking the Goy, who's Harrison Ford. And instead of defending Harrison Ford, he goes after the Sefer Torah to save the Sefer Torah. And at some part in the film, he doesn't want to be a rabbi anymore because he chose the Sefer Torah over human lives. I'm talking about the halacha, Goy, Jew, whatever. It's a very interesting message. Sefer Torah is a medium. It's a very kadosh medium. So we don't worship the Sefer Torah. It's holy, it's the highest Kedusha. We don't worship that, we don't worship the Luchot. So he smashed the Luchot. You understand, it's a Peledik Ezach, what he's saying. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying that you know, if you worship an Egel because you think you need a medium, I'm going to bring you these Luchot down, you're going to stop bowing down to the Luchot. So he smashes the Luchot. You don't need a medium. Judaism doesn't need a medium. A Jew speaks to God, speaks to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Just have a look inside. Time and place doesn't create Kedusha. It's the same everywhere. God is everywhere. Eretz Yisrael v'chol. And our relationship with God is the same Moshe and a regular person over the page, excitedly over the page. The Torah is just a medium. Mechuyevet HaMetziyot is only God. The only thing that needs to exist in the world is God. We can live without having a scroll. We cannot live without God. Our relationship is more God. And Moshe doesn't want the people to stop bowing down to the Luchot, so he smashes the Luchot. Because they've already shown a certain weakness. They needed a medium instead of Moshe. They've made an Egel. And they're going to replace the Egel now with the Luchot. So he smashes the Luchot. You don't need the Luchot. It's something that we have to overcome. We use media, and I put it on a different direction. There's a beautiful piece by the Piet Cessna about a kolelnik. He comes to him and asks him what he should imagine when he's going. The first time I saw this, I asked myself a question. What do you imagine? When I was a little boy, I was convinced that God on the Quaker Oats. I was just convinced there's a Quaker, a beard, right? Like white hair, whatever. I don't know. I had something in my mind. As I got older, I don't have anything in my mind really. He asked the Piet Cessna, can I create an image in my mind to pray to people who need the image? But the Meshech Chochma says, we understand the Jew really doesn't need that. We pray directly to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. So he broke the Luchot to get rid of that. About Hava Amina. But I wanted to make time for the last piece over the page to Rav Steinsaltz. I just think it's very shy of us. We're in the middle of Adar Aleph. It's only the first 3 or 4 weeks for MGA, but for most of you, we've already been together 5 months straight, really, right? Cheshvan Kislev Tishrei, Cheshvan Kislev Tevet Shvat, Adar, 5 months. Now listen to what Rav Steinsaltz says. Oh, we've still got 6 weeks, right? So this is what Rav Steinsaltz says. He's trying to explain the Tofa'ah. It's just really, really interesting what he says. Bear with me, ladies. The Northern Hemisphere girls have nowhere to go tonight. Their dads and mums have already cut off their credit cards. They used all the money. The Southern Hemisphere, they're happy to stay here. They're good, able girls. So we're not in a rush. No one's in a rush. Marriage at 7. Listen to what Rav Steinsaltz says about Chetah Egel. And I don't know this to be true, but it's Rav Steinsaltz has a lot of ideas, and it's very interesting what he says. I want to ask the questions regarding Chetah Egel. Nothing to do with anything we've discussed so far. It's an afterword. How could it be? It's a question I'm sure you've asked. That holy Jews, Shirak Akshav Kiblu Torah Bahar Sinai, who only just received the Torah, 40 days ago, they heard God speaking to them. And that was a big event. It was a big event, Matan Torah. How could they get to Egel Bahamukulot? How did they get to that situation? How did that happen? I think the two things are connected. I just want to share it with you. It's food for thought, but I have an extension to this thought. We have to remember this in the ways of Hashem. I don't know what he's saying, whether it's scientifically true, so I'm just qualifying. He wants to refer to post. What's it called? When a woman has a baby, she gets
different.
Post-partum depression. That's not in English. I can't hear you properly. A woman gets depressed. Now listen carefully. He's talking about the depression that a woman sometimes has after she's given birth. Okay, now his explanation, I don't know that it's scientifically true, but this is what he says anyway. Yesh nashim she'eslam ze'uba ze'ober acharei zman katzar. Some people, this passes very quickly. V'li lekabel surot chamurot, without it taking on something very serious. Aval yesh nashim she'ze mekabel etzlan surot chamurot mo'od. But sometimes this is a very, very severe depression that takes place. And there have even been cases where women get into this depression and they never get out of it. Just bear with me. I'm not going to finish unless I know you're listening. Okay? So he says, where does this come from? He wants to give an explanation why a woman would be depressed after she gave birth to a beautiful baby. So the moment that a woman gives birth, the entire body is involved in this project. The entire body is waking up to give birth to this child. It's creating a human being, bringing life to the world. There's an enormous amount of adrenaline and other chemicals that are working at an incredible speed. A lot of work is taking place in the body in order for this woman to bring life into the world. The body is working very, very quickly. And then gives birth. The experience is a very, very strong and extreme experience. You won't be able to understand by looking at your phone. And I will leave the room. זמן קצר אחרי זה, וזה יכול להיות אפילו יומיים או שלושה אחר כך. A short time, it could be 2 or 3 days afterwards. הכל יוצא. The room is empty. ופתאום נשאר חלל ריק. There's nothing left. All the life inside of her has gone. She's given birth. The baby is on the outside. But everything that was going on inside her body is finished. הפער בין מצב התרוממות הקודם לגאפ between this incredible elation that was taking place before and the work of the body before, לבין המציאות שבה כל זה מתפוגג ונעלם, it disappears after, יוצר את התחושת הסובייקטיב של ירידה מאיגרא רמא לביר עמיתא. It creates a feeling within the woman of being at a great height and falling to the lowest of lows, from her body's perspective, not from the fact that the baby was born. קודם היה מתח יוצא מן הכלל, beforehand there was this incredible intensity, ועכשיו הכל התנדף במהירות, and now everything has disappeared. אפשר להסביר את התופעה גם במינוח אחר, פנימי יותר. You can explain it with a deeper understanding. נאמר שמפתח שיולדת נמצא בידי הקודש ברוך הוא בלבד. The key to a woman giving birth is in the hands of God alone. ומדברי הצדיקים בדורות הראשונות למדנו שזה בעצם מה שיוצא התאומה מלידה. And some tzaddikim wanted to explain, this is the essence of tumah that happens when a woman gives birth, is this fall that takes place. There's no more life in her. הנפילה מהנקודה של הלידה ששם נמצא הקדוש ברוך הוא מעצמו, נקודת הריק. The lady, God is there, God is giving the neshama to the baby, and now there's nothing there. And that creates the tumah. That's his explanation, okay? Now see what he says about Har Sinai. Lagabi said he anotended. Har Sinai was a climax. It was a climax. We have certain events in our lives that are climactic. They're enormous events. They leave an incredible impression on us. Yisrael ayu b'mamad Har Sinai. They were at Har Sinai. Ulerega echad erolim lemala kol kach kavod. What an incredible experience. Shavuot is. What an incredible experience. Absolute revelation. Absolute revelation. That's what happened at Har Sinai. Shem shomim et Hashem medaber. Lelo kol achanot. Without any preparation, they hear God. Am shalem ole lemadrega hazo. A whole people has this experience of revelation with God. Umiyat lacha mekein hakol nelam. And then everything's gone. It's just gone. It's just gone. There's nothing there. Moshe's gone up to Har Sinai and they're back in their tents. Shuvu lachem lolem. Go back to your tents. Just gone back to normal. As Manisha, what's left? What's left of that experience? What an anti-climax. What an anti-climax. After Har Sinai, there's nothing. Be'esem nishar ma sheya lasot kodem lishnem. All they've got left is what they were doing before Matan Torah. לכאורה, המצב עכשיו הוא כמו שהיה עשרה לפני, so it's like 10 days before Matan Torah, there's nothing left. אלא שהדיפרסיה שבא אחרי ההתעלות של Matan Torah, היא כל כך עמוקה של עשרה שבר עמוק, it creates a crisis, says, so they want to fill the gap. So they go in search of filling the gap. It's such an interesting way to explain Chet HaEgel, not as Avodah Zarah, not as immediate instead of Moshe, but a way to tackle the fall from the height to the lowest. And I was thinking about this comment of Rav Steinsaltz, and in reference to something that was in last week's parasha, after everything is consecrated, after the Kohanim have their clothes, we are introduced into the Tamid Shel Boker v'Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim. There is a very obscure Midrash, but the Midrash asks a really interesting question. What is the most important pasuk in Torah? And one opinion says it's Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, which is obvious that you would think Shema Yisrael, that's a pretty important pasuk. And one opinion says, no, it's the Korban Tamid. And Marosh Hashiva, Rav Amitaz, our son used to say, why is it so important? Because we have two elements to our lives. We have great occasions that happen every so often, and we have the weekdays, regular routine, and that's the ikar of our lives, the regular routine. When we're not on Har Sinai, when there isn't trumpets playing and there isn't fire and there isn't tekiyot and there isn't revelation, it's just a regular Monday afternoon. That's our avodah. That's also our lives. I have children who are just finishing in yeshiva and they're thinking about careers, and I'm begging them. It has to be something you like doing because you're going to do it for the rest of your life. Shabbos comes once a week. We have 6 days in between, which is life. You can't live for Shabbos, and you can't live for Purim. And I think if we look at the yearly calendar, we should look at it in a different way. Netivot Shalom says, divide the year into two. You have the beginning of the Jewish year for people is Nisan. In Nisan we have Pesach, and 50 days later we have Shavuot. That's one Chag. Tishrei is the beginning of the year for the individual. So we have Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Chodesh Elul, and 50 days later we have Simchat Torah. And the Tivot Shalom says that divide the year into two. You have the challenges of the winter and the challenges of the summer. Before you go out to meet the challenges of the winter, this is just a Northern Hemisphere theme, but you can do it both ways. You need to prepare yourself. From Rosh Chodesh Elul to Simchat Torah is preparation for the winter. And from Pesach to Shavuot is preparation for the summer. But what is so yakar about the comments of the Tivot Shalom is that as opposed to the way we look at these things as being climatic, he doesn't see them as climatic. They're preparation. The purpose of Pesach and Shavuot is to prepare me for the summer, for the routine. And the purpose of Rosh Chodesh Elul right the way through to Simchat Torah is to prepare me for the winter. The most important day of the year isn't Yom Kippur. The most important day of the year is Daled Cheshvan, Hei Cheshvan, Vav Cheshvan. That's my life. That's when life takes place. The most important part of our year here is wintertime. Is the bread and butter. Is being able to get through this time. Every so often, we'll put in a tiyul or chakla or something simply in order to give you a bit of koach. But the bread and butter is the Beit Midrash on a regular day. And sometimes you have a fall, right? People, they're lacking. I need something to push me up. Rosh Tanzos, this is perfectly natural. That's the reaction of the people. They are missing something special. So they need to create something. They were mistaken. Our role in life is not to create events. Our role in life is to live life. That's what we're meant to do. A regular Monday, a regular Tuesday. If you're living your life for a Monday night, then you're a never. You're a never. If you wait all week to go and eat in a restaurant, that's what your life is. Then think again. If your life is you're waiting for a party, a bar mitzvah, or whatever it is, it's a good event, it's a nice event. I was once in the Beit Midrash and I walked past a girl and she was sitting there with a calendar and she was crossing off days. So I said, what are you doing? She said, well, my mum's coming on this day, so I'm crossing off days. So I said to her, never in your life cross off days. You just don't know how many you're going to have. Don't cross off days. Your mum will come, she'll go, she'll come again, she'll go. There'll be President's Week, there'll be Veterans Day, there'll be Thanksgiving, there'll be Christmas. One day they'll do a day work over there, but she'll come, she'll go, she'll come, she'll go, she'll come, she'll go, she'll come, she'll go. Don't cross off days in your calendar. Every day. Rabbi Nachman said, if I don't do something new today, I haven't lived. I see something new every day. And if, this should be a wake-up call, if you're living, it's a Nebuch, right? There's someone... I'm actually such a Nebuch that I was working the opposite. I've been chalashing for 3 weeks to just have a normal week in the Big Russia. I still haven't had a normal week because we're still doing application, but just to have a normal week, my chavrusas and my shiurim, and just have a normal week. I just haven't had it yet for a month. That's the bread and butter of our lives. It's the koach to know that we don't need to replace big events. We need to take chizuk from big events. We have to live every day of our life. So we see the response of Moshe in three ways. The response more, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the response more, Yahshua, the response more, the people with Shivat HaLuchot. We see this afterword of Rav Steinshaus, which is, he understands why it happened because something was missing. But that was a sin. The sin is to live your life from event to event and to ignore the content in between each event. There's one song, I haven't heard you sing it, so it's nothing to do with you, but I've heard it, and I don't even mean it, whatever. And I'm going to say Shabbat straight after. I've done a 6 more days to Shabbat. It's wrong. It's wrong. What do you mean? There's 6 more days. But life is just a countdown. That's it. Sunday is Sunday, Monday is Monday, Tuesday is Tuesday. Every day is a day. And we know only too well how quick someone can disappear from this world. Without any notice and without any warning. It's as true of us as it is of anyone else. So that's our lesson at the end of the shir is the appreciation of what we have and knowing how to use our time the way we should. Okay. Thank you.